So Hebrews chapter 11, now some of you might have missed last Sunday, last Sunday night. If that's the case, perhaps you might want to go back and review that one. We're going to kind of pick up a little bit where we left off last week in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm not doing the chapter like I think would be my traditional way of going, you know, kind of studying it verse by verse. And we started the chapter this way, looking at all of these characters. But basically, I started last week in pointing out what I called characteristics of faith. And a lot of it was taken from Abraham's life. So we didn't go through the details of Abraham's life. We basically just saw how faith was displayed in his life. I think I had 3 points. One of them was faith's perseverance. That faith endures. True faith does endure. Jesus said, "If you continue, then are ye my disciples indeed." And we see that example in this chapter. We saw it in Abel. Well, maybe not so much Abel, but Enoch. Enoch continued for 300 years walking with God. Noah continued for 120 years or so building an ark. And then Abraham sojourned in the land for, you know, a long time and always just walking on faith. Abraham didn't really possess all that was promised him as far as physically, but he continued anyway by faith, and he died in faith, as we see. So there's a tenaciousness. We talked about how faith holds on to the Lord, and because it has nowhere else to go. I mean, who else do we turn to? We can only turn to the Lord. So there's that aspect of faith. Then we saw faith's focus or vision, that faith sees really the invisible, sees what the eye cannot see. And that's why when we talk about walking by faith and walking by sight, they're not the same thing. Because lots of times, you know, it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith goes on the promises of God more than what we can sometimes touch and feel or smell or taste or whatever. So there's the vision of faith. And then we talked about the submission of faith, where he offered his son Isaac. He submitted to that, even though it wouldn't make sense to us humanly, logically to us, but he obeyed God. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about some characteristics or what faith does, is what I've entitled this one. Because you might notice that faith is, it's not so much what we feel, how faith makes us feel. Faith does, I guess, make us feel some things, you know, secure, things like that. But really what we're more interested in is what faith makes us do. And it sort of reminded me we talked about these chapters in the Bible that have a singular theme. The love chapter of the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, that one always struck me that love in that chapter is more of a verb than a noun. In other words, it was action. You know, love suffers long, it's kind, it's all of these things that are active. And so faith is active. Faith, of course, moves us to do things. And so we're going to look at some things that faith does. Now, I just wanted to kind of get us a little bit of a introduction, a running start, and then we can jump into it. But we've been noticing that the writer has been encouraging these Hebrew Christians to hold fast to their profession of faith. And he's trying to edify or to build up their faith. And we sometimes talk about faith in the terminology of quantity, you know, like increase our faith. When you say increase our faith, that makes it sound like, there's an amount of faith. And I guess perhaps that's not wrong. It's just that it's more to do with really the object of the faith more than the amount of faith, I guess. In other words, you could put a large amount of faith on an eighth of an inch of ice to go out on the lake, and you're going to get wet. But you could put a small amount of faith on a foot of ice, and you can skate around happily all over the place, right? So it's the object of our faith more than the amount. And so when we think about building our faith, or we think about, you know, having more faith or stronger faith, whichever way you want to look at it, how do we do that? What is it that builds our faith? How do we increase our faith? Well, it's not by necessarily examining our faith, you know, all the time, just kind of checking our faith. That would be like, you know, taking the plants you planted and pulling up and looking, examining the roots all the time and putting them back. You know, that wouldn't work very well. The way we really increase our faith is by looking at and focusing on the object of our faith. The more we study, the more we familiarize ourselves with God, with the Lord, with His character, His strength, His attributes, the more we grow in theology, if we want to use a technical term, I think the stronger our faith becomes. Because we see how solid the one we are trusting in is. We see what He's able to do. And so if you want to strengthen your faith, you have to feed it. You have to feed it on the Word of God. And in the Word of God, we see who God is, and it increases our faith. I think that's the best advice I could give as far as how to strengthen our faith. And the writer to the Hebrews is trying to edify, to build up their faith, and he certainly has been spending a lot of time focusing on Jesus all through this whole book, right? You know, that Jesus is greater than, and so on. And now, another way that might be helpful as well is to look at others and see how God used their lives by faith. And so that's what this chapter does. It shows us these examples of faith, and from that we have an example to follow. So, what does faith do? Well, there's several things I want to point out tonight. First of all, faith is concerned about the future generation. We want to pick up at verse number 20. I'll read just a few verses to get us started. He says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let's just stop there for right now. We'll read on in a little further. But you get the idea here. Just like faith has a tenacity, a vision, and a submission, it also has a concern for the future generation. Faith looks forward. And looking forward, you know, you look down and see the generation to come. Because, as we say, these folks were dying in faith, but promises were still out there. And they wanted to pass on that faith and those promises to their children. And that's what I want to focus on just for a few moments here in these verses. We notice that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. It doesn't, you know, that's a short verse, and you could read that, not like Abraham. It gives us a lot more detail, and we know a lot more about Abraham's life. Isaac's life didn't have all of the same big events in them, but yet Isaac was a man of faith. You know, the Lord kind of calls himself, if you will, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so Isaac, Abraham had conveyed his faith to Isaac, and Isaac also, by faith, conveyed his faith to Jacob and Esau. He blessed them. And he had to bless them by faith. When I thought about, what does this all mean that he blessed them by faith? And why was it by faith? Well, it had to be by faith because just like Abraham, Isaac was still a pilgrim in this land that they were living. In other words, like we've talked about how Abraham lived in a tent all the time, wandering around. So did Isaac. If you read about Isaac, as I say, there's not as much big events in the life of Isaac. But you read about him traveling in a tent. You read about him digging wells. That's one thing I remember about Isaac. He dug wells wherever he went and he built altars. And, and that's the way they lived. And so, again, he's talking to Jacob and Esau, his children, and he's saying things to them probably like, Abraham said to him, you look up to the north, as far as you can see northward, all that land God has given to Abraham, our father, and now to us. And look to the east and to the south and to the west. All this land has been promised to us through Abraham. And so he passes on that faith of that promise to them. And they might say, well, but how come, our name isn't on all the deed of this land? How come we still travel in tents? Why, when we dig wells, sometimes the neighbors come and they take our water and we had to dig another well. Why of all this? And Isaac says to them, we're still pilgrims here. But the day is coming when the descendants of Abraham will fill this land. And we know this by faith. And so he passes on his faith in the promise of God. It was by faith because he was still a pilgrim. I think also it was by faith because when you think about Jacob and Esau, we know a little bit about them, don't we? And to be honest with you, Isaac had his hands full with those two, right? I mean, Jacob was... He was a, well, what would we call Jacob? He was a conniving, opportunistic, kind of ambitious young man. And his brother was, I don't know, I don't want to give too much of a hard time to Esau, but Esau was easily taken in, And so Jacob used this against him quite often. You remember how he got... Esau's birthright by a bowl of soup, basically. And then he got the blessing by deceiving his father and so on. So, I mean, these sons, and it just says here that, by faith Isaac blessed them. It doesn't tell us, it doesn't talk about all of Jacob's exploits. It doesn't talk about the family problems that they had. But they had them. And yet, Isaac still blessed them by faith. In other words, when I think about that, I think about, sometimes we may have a Jacob in our family. And by faith, we still pray for them. Whenever I see in my own children or in the children of this church, from time to time, you see them, maybe they look as though they might be going astray. They look like they're moving in the wrong direction. And what do? Well, by faith, we ask God. And I've prayed many times for young people in this church, young people of my own household, and I pray for them, Lord, many times I've asked this prayer when I see that, and I just say, Lord, be strong upon their life. Don't give them over to the world. Don't let up on them. Keep pressuring them. Keep convicting them. Keep challenging their heart. I don't want them to be given over to a reprobate mind, given over to to worldliness. But be strong on them. I pray that often. And, I believe Isaac prayed for these boys of his. And God did work strong upon the life of Jacob. One day God chased Jacob down and wrestled with him until Jacob finally surrendered. And God, It was a lot of years of wandering Jacob took. He took a long detour, but he finally got back to the land. So much so that in verse 21, we read, by faith Jacob. Oh. You see, at first, it looked like, you know, the whole plan was going to go out the window because these boys would not settle down. They weren't going to, get on the program. They weren't going to walk by faith. But Jacob or Isaac blessed them. Isaac prayed for them. Do you pray for your children? Do you have specific prayers that you pray for them continually? You know, that's the application. Our faith is concerned about the next generation. Our faith is concerned about our children. And then we see it going on to Jacob's life, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed the sons of Joseph. And that's a wonderful, actually a wonderful little statement. It's not, again, not a lot of detail there. But he blessed them worshiping, leaning upon the top of his staff. It was at the end of Jacob's life. But if you were to turn, I don't know if we'll take the time, in Genesis chapter 48, we read about Jacob. He calls Joseph, and Joseph brings his two sons. Anybody remember the names of the sons of Joseph? Pop quiz. Ephraim and Manasseh, that's right. Does anybody know which one was the elder? Yeah, Manasseh was. Yeah, Manasseh was the older. And the reason why that's even a part of the story is because Joseph comes, you know, Jacob finally, after you know the story, he comes down to Egypt, where Joseph has been for a while. And he then is old, his eyes are dim, and so on. And Joseph comes in the room, and he has his sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob, of course, with his eyes dim, he says, who are these? You know, he sensed there was somebody there. Perhaps he could see just a little. He said, who are these? And he said, these are my sons that I begat in this place. And Jacob says this. He said something like, I didn't even expect to see your face, talking to Joseph. I never thought I'd see my son Joseph again. Because for many, many years, he thought Joseph was dead. I didn't think I'd see your face, but now I see not only you, but your children. And he said, bring them to me that I might bless them. And he brought Manasseh, the elder, on Joseph's left to Jacob's right hand, and Ephraim, the younger, on Joseph's right to Jacob's left hand, because, you know, in the way they did back then, the right hand was the eldest son's position. That was the hand of, you know, the position of power and blessing. But you remember what Jacob did, right? He reached out and he went like that. And Joseph said, no, this is the one you... And Jacob said, no, I know what I'm doing. But he blessed them. And I imagine, you know, Jacob might have said something to them. You know, you can read the prayer that he prayed, but he might have said something to them like, you know, you see these gods of the Egyptians, don't be enamored by them. They're false gods. You see all this that the Egyptians have around you, but listen, we have the true God, the God of my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac. He is the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. And one day he's going to bring you out of this land and to a promised land that he has given to Abraham. And so don't follow after the idols of Egypt, but live for God. And he blessed them. You see, that's what faith does. Faith has concern for the next generation. You see it again in Moses' life. It says in verse 23, by faith Moses. But really, is this Moses' faith? When he was born, was hid 3 months? No, by faith he was hid, but he was hid by the faith of his parents, right? His parents, Amram and Jochebed, they were believers. And by faith, they, you know this story, right? All the male children born to Israel were to be killed. But they saw this child that was a proper child. And I've always wondered, what does that mean, he was a proper child? Well, he was a special child. All children are special, right? What made him more special? I don't know. But they just felt, God's given us this child. You know, I mean, yeah, Pharaoh has made the decree. He's made it the law that all the male children need to be killed immediately. Now, I can't imagine, but I can't imagine a lot of things people do, but they do them anyway. But I suppose, you know, maybe they could have thought, you know, what choice do we have? We're slaves, and this is what has to be done. And others, perhaps, were doing it. But they said, no, we're not going to turn our child over to be killed. We're not going to drown him. We're not going to kill him. By faith, they hid him. By faith, they trusted the Lord. It might be what the world says we have to do, but we're not doing it. Because God gave us this son, and we want to see him grow up for the Lord. And so they nurtured him and they hid him, but there came a point in which they could no longer hid him. It wasn't feasible. And so by faith they put him in a basket and set him out into the Nile. And you know that story. But they loved him and they nurtured him, they cared for him, and you know, then later, of course, we know that Miriam was watching over and saw Pharaoh's daughter finding Moses and said, she was a smart girl. She came up with this immediately. Hey, would you like a Hebrew mom to nurse this baby? And Pharaoh's daughter said, well, you know, that's a good idea. Why don't you go and find one? And so obviously, who did she bring? Well, Moses' mom. And she nursed him, and she must have had some influence in his life. But all of that is just simply to say that faith is to be generational. It's to be passed on. It's to be, you know, by faith we can bring a blessing. We can bring, you know, through prayer and through living by faith, we can pass it on. And we need to be concerned about the future generation, about our children. And so they took a risk and they took encouragement. And you know, when I think about how the Hebrews reading this under the Romans must have, you know, taken heart at the story of Jochebed and Amram. Because, you know, here they defied Pharaoh. They obeyed God rather than man. And God blessed them for that. And so I can only think that, you know, these ones, they live under this Roman emperors and all that. And sometimes they had to defy man to obey God. And they saw that when the parents of Moses did this, it was blessed of God. Well, first of all, faith is concerned about the future generation. Secondly, faith has confidence in death. We jumped a little bit quickly over verse 22, but let's look back at that for a moment. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And all that was a statement, you know, by Joseph to say that, you know, I know that I'm in Egypt and I'm going to die here, but I don't want to be buried here. And I'm telling you, God is going to bring us out of this land. And he said he was so confident that God would do that. He had such faith in that promise that he said, I want you to make me a promise that you will bring my bones with you when you leave. And so Joseph did that when he was old. You know, all these guys get down to their old age and their faith is still there. And you know, let me say, what good is a faith that abandons us at death, right? What good is a faith that fades away at the emergency room? No, their faith was there in their dying days, and it was strong. And so Joseph, you know, I can only imagine that as people would visit Joseph and they would come by and say, Joseph, good to see you're still alive. I wasn't expecting, you know, maybe that you would be alive still. And Joseph would say, yes, I'm still alive. And they'd talk, and then Joseph would say, now there's just one thing. And they would all say, we know, Joseph, when we leave, we'll take your bones, okay? And he said, good, I know you got it, but I just want to make sure you don't forget. You're going to take my bones when you go. And you know, I can only imagine throughout the generations, the Israelites seeing this old box and saying, what is in that box? You know, every time we go anywhere, we've got to bring this box with us. And so, you know, when they get ready to leave, here comes this box. And what is in that box? Oh, well, that's the bones of Joseph. Well, who is Joseph? Oh, well, let me tell you about Joseph. And, you know, for some old timer to tell the story of Joseph. What a story of faith. A man who God made a promise to in a dream. And although for years it looked as though those dreams would go unfulfilled, yet God kept the promise. And now he's made us take his bones with us. And the promise is fulfilled. And so faith gives confidence in death. Faith controls our actions. We see that already, kind of, but look at now verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We know these verses well. But you know, Moses' faith caused him to do a couple things. First of all, it caused him to make a great refusal. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which is to say he forfeited all that being the son of Pharaoh's daughter would bring to his life. He forfeited social status. He forfeited wealth, material wealth. He forfeited pleasure and all of those things. He gave them up for suffering. He chose rather to suffer. And let me just say, people don't do that except by faith. I mean, who in their right mind would, you know, if there was no reason of faith to do it, why would you forfeit the easy life for a hard life? Why would you forfeit following the crowd, taking the path of least resistance? Why would you go down, you know, and take your part in with the slaves? Who would do such a thing? Well, you do it by faith. That's the only reason you do it. And that's the reason why Moses did it. And as I say, you know that story so well, I don't want to spend a long time on it. Let me just ask you, what have you refused because of faith? What significant choices have we made because of our faith? Surely we've made some. Surely we have at times done things that the world will look at and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? I mean, even easy things, they would say, why are you went to church Sunday morning? Why are you going again Sunday night? Why would you go out in the rain and the cold and in the dark? I mean, people go out and get candy and trick-or-treat, we understand that, but why would you go back to church? Surely once is enough, right? I mean, there's many things we do that they would say, well, I don't understand that. Why do you raise your children that way? That they can't be involved in all these things that the world does. Why do you do those things? Think about later, Moses talks about him keeping the Passover. Look down at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. And through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And can you imagine the Egyptians there when they looked and they saw these Israelites and they're killing animals and they're taking blood and painting it over their doors? And they're searching their houses for leaven and trying to get all the leaven out of their house. And I imagine the Egyptians saying, these guys are mad. What are they doing? What is with that? What is the blood on the door? That's, you know, it doesn't make sense to them. But they kept it by faith. And again, there's things we do. You know, I know many preachers, not myself as much, but many preachers who have given up careers and, you know, turned their back on lives of fortune and ease to be a preacher, to be a missionary. Why would we do that? Well, it's by faith. And faith does that. Faith dictates our options and directs our choices. Faith demands obedience. We're gonna finish the chapter tonight. Let me just give you a couple of other thoughts. Let's move down into verse 29 to 35. Faith also is able to gain God's favor. We read here about, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. The Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You know that story well enough. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies with peace. Of course, Rahab's a great illustration of saving faith. She didn't perish. She lived. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, faith begins, I know I'm talking to Christians tonight, but I just want to say this. Faith begins when we stop trusting in ourselves and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, what he did for the salvation of our soul, right? And that's why, you know, we need to see ourselves as sinners. When we see ourselves as sinners, we don't trust ourselves. We can't trust in our own selves. We're lost. And when people recognize their sin and then they see Christ, the response should be one of faith. Well, what else happened here? Rahab escaped death. What shall we say more? More say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson. How many are surprised that Samson made the Hall of Faith? I'm a little surprised by that. Who else is in here? Barak and Samson. Now, Gideon, we understand. Barak even's a little surprising, to be honest with you. And Jephthah, he's an interesting character. David, also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. We know who that's talking about, don't we? That must be Daniel. Quenched the violence of fire. Who would that refer to? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yeah. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Well, that part we'll get to in a second. But all these, you know, they gained the favor of God by faith. We read already back in verse 6 that by faith, we please God. You know, Enoch walked with God. He had the testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when we please God by faith, God is pleased to bless and to deliver. And you know, they did great exploits because of faith, or by faith. By faith, they saw the hand of God on their life and did great things. And then we get down to where we started there in verse 35, that, you know, some were tortured not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith. You say all of those had faith? Their faith only brought them through great trials. Their faith caused them all these difficulties. But that's what faith does. Faith also consents to suffer for Christ. Moses did it. He chose to suffer with the children of God. And so this is what faith does. And then God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Well, we did it. We've got to the end of chapter 11. I hope you see that faith, when it's exercised, it really does change our lives. It affects our lives. It does all of these things that we just mentioned and more when we exercise faith. Let's pray together.